And I think we have a quorum. And we have two gentlemen who have each asked to speak on about five items, and that's the extent of our public comment today. So I'm going to ask each of them to take 5 minutes and talk about the subject that they want to speak on. The first one is Arnold Sachs. Mr. Sachs is not here. Sure he is. You signed up for public comment. You want to speak on number 7, number 8, number 10, and number 11, and number 12. I don't have 9 down here. I have. Okay. All right. You had 8. I'm sorry. We don't have an 8, so that would be 9. I am going to suggest that you take your 5 minutes and regale us with your...
That's just wonderful. Thank you.
Knowledge. Thank you.
Good afternoon. Arnold Sachs. Number 7. The Los Angeles County is going to contribute $38,000 to the San Diego San Luis Obispo Rail Corridor Agency. And I brought this up before in front of the Metro Board and County Board of Supervisors, that it seems to me the federal government is having outreach hearings on stations for the San Diego Inland Empire high-speed rail system. And Metro is giving money for the Orange County, I'm trying to figure this out, the San Diego San Luis Obispo, that would be the inland high-speed rail corridor, because the other rail corridor, which is being proposed, is the Los Angeles to Orange County rail corridor, high-speed rail, because Orange County is going to be building a station there. It seems to be two different rail corridors being proposed for high-speed rail, which is the norm that allows money to be spent without any accountability.
Well, I think, I don't want to take your time, so we'll add another 20 seconds to it. Los Angeles is not about the high-speed rail. It's about Pacific Sunliner and that service.
Well, thank you. Item number 9, the 2009 Long Range Transportation Plan. I've asked before also. I know the 2002 Long Range Transportation Plan is still in effect. The 2008 Long Range Transportation Plan was presented in a glossy, high-def book put out by Metro. What's the status of the 2008 long-range transit plan? What's the status of the 2002 long-range transit plan, which was amended to allow for the high-occupancy vehicle lane project that's going on the 110 freeway and the 10 freeway? Number 10, the regional connector. Again, if you called it by the completion of the blue line, which is its status, it would be so much more transparent to the public. Instead of naming it as a regional connector, people would have the idea that, why wasn't it built back in the 1980s? Crenshaw Transit Corridor Project, item number 11. I have yet to see any information requesting a construction authority. You can have a construction. You need to have a construction. You've got to have a construction authority for the Green Line to the airport. But the Crenshaw Line, which will run parallel to the Green Line, no need for a construction authority. Please explain why the holdup, why the delay requiring the Green Line construction authority. Maybe it's the funding. So why wasn't the same source of funding used for the Green Line and gotten the darn line built? The West Side Subway Extension, they're having hearings right now, outreach again, for two routes, according to the articles in the newspaper, according to the articles in the downtown newspaper. Doesn't say anything about the route through Hollywood extending. It's a quote that the mayor is upset with the timing for the extension of the West Side Subway. I think it said Villaraigosa. The mistake was it should have been Bradley. Thank you.
Thank you. And you even had almost a minute left. The other individual who wanted to speak on several items is John Walsh. And Mr. Walsh, you asked to speak on item number 9, number 10, number 11, number 12, and under public comment. And you have 5 minutes, and I invite you to speak.
Oh, under public comment, I'd like to point out, we blog at HollywoodHighlands.org. Highlands, H-I-G-H-L-A-N-D-S. This is our analytics, incidentally. We don't ask you to believe what we say. Since September 3rd, we average 50,000 visitors, over 200,000. I'll give you a copy of this. We will hit 250,000 at the end of the month. 250,000 people are listening to me on the internet. And number one is there was a crooked deal here with the mayor, we'll put this on, and as a result, he has hidden some of his wealth.
Mr. Walsh, that's not appropriate, please.
Well, why isn't it appropriate? I'm talking about an empty... See, you listen to jerk-offs and let them speak. But when I hit what hits, okay, I don't feel like getting arrested. I just want you to know that you said on the tape, there are backroom deals going on here in November. That tape is with the FBI. You said that on the record, Mr. Bois. You said it. I hope you remember it. You better get the record. You said there are backroom deals, and we believe the mayor, in his divorce proceedings, is hiding money he stole from the state.
Mr. Walsh.
Notice, everyone is allowed to talk. Okay, what do you want to hear?
I want you to hear about
Mr. Katz?
I want
HollywoodHighlands.org. You want to hear about Mr. Katz? Come to our, he is also.
I want you to move on from personal attacks to the items that are before us.
One second. I said nothing about the mayor that's personal. Where's Mike Antonovich? Did you hear me personally attack the mayor? Did you? No, you didn't. I did not personally. Personal attacks, he means I said something about him and his person. I'm talking about politics. And as far as the Crenshaw line is concerned, you saw all the black people up here speaking in favor of it. You saw the mayor sneering. Oops, excuse me, personal attack. In fact, if you go to HollywoodHighlands.org, regional connector, you don't have the money to build any of these things. You don't have the money. You have the money to plan them, and you have the money to build things where the white people are, where west of La Brea. And as far as the African Americans are concerned, I got to keep quiet because Goldie is doing his crossword puzzle. Gets paid to do that, you know. I just want you to know that the regional connector will not happen. And let's face it, I don't need 5 minutes. The Democrats lost the 2012 election yesterday, okay? There's not going to be any more Democrats in Washington, D.C. They screwed it up. It's over. You're not going to get your rail money. And in fact, the second stimulus project is dead in the Senate. You can ask Mike Antonovich. And you, because of your greed, because of Richard Katz's, was going to handle all this stuff, that you were going to get the money from Obama. Let me tell you, Obama in the year 2013 will be a lobbyist in Washington, D.C. And I voted for him twice. I don't need the 5 minutes. Bye bye.
Thank you, sir.
HollywoodHighlands.org.
I know.
Leave the personal attacks.
Please let the record show that all of the members of the committee are here. And that's all. Those are all the requests I had for any public input. Thank you very much. First item on the agenda, number 6. And we have a staff report.
Yes, Madam Chair. Come on up, John.
Item 6 on the report is pre-construction mitigation for I-5 Orange County line. We've, many of you are, by the way, Doug Failing, interim chief planning officer, is who the guy is sitting up here. We have been working very hard with the I-5 JPA to advance construction for widening of I-5. We have a series of projects that we should do on city streets in advance of that to mitigate the impacts that that construction will have. John Gacy is here from staff. John, would you like to talk a little more in detail?
Now, just real briefly, today staff is requesting approval to borrow $6.645 million from the I-5 South Widening and HOV Lane Project to fund design and construction.
We have a motion to approve.
I'll move it.
Oh.
Stop.
Good advice, Doug.
Something I learned from sitting over there.
Any objections? So ordered. Let's go on to the next item. For 7. Los Angeles Strategic Implementation Plan Funding Strategy.
Yes, Madam Chair, Directors. Alex Clifford, Executive Officer, High Speed Rail Operations. And I have an item before you today to ask if you would increase your contribution to LOSAN from its current $12,000 to a total of $38,100, increasing that by $26,100 in the current year, and to ask the CEO to budget in FY11 $221,040 in that year for LOSAN. This is a follow-on to the item that I brought you in December. That was the MOU that I presented to you and that you approved. And at that time, I indicated that we were still kicking around formulas, which we completed in December, brought to the LOSAN board, and that formula attributes a metro share of 36% of the cost of this 18-month plan based on ridership within the county. So with that, as I indicated in December, we would hire a project manager on an 18-month basis the remainder of this year and then the full FY11 year to create a strategic action plan for the corridor. As I indicated in December, the goal here is to move the LOSAN corridor forward in how we coordinate the services, to try to bring together a plan that looks at how we put capital into this corridor on a corridor-wide basis rather than an individual agency-wide basis, thinking much more strategically to try to figure out how to coordinate the services better. So, for example, you don't necessarily in the future have coasters in Oceanside going south and Metrolink going north, better coordination there, and to include Amtrak operations. And then also looking forward with the arrival of high-speed rail in that corridor, obviously there has to be some integration in how all of these folks are going to operate and coordinate together rather than in their own individual environments. So with that introduction, I would submit the request for approval of 1 and 2.
We have a motion to approve. Is there a second?
Second.
Moved and seconded. Any objections? So ordered. Next item on the agenda is... Turn the page. Number 9? Sorry.
All right. And
I don't have an 8.
Number 8 is the update on regional rail matters.
I'm sorry. Right? Go ahead.
Okay. Great. Thank you. There you go. Okay. This is my monthly report in which I give you a report on high-speed rail, LOSAN, and Metrolink. We are anxiously awaiting the announcements on the ARRA funding, and we hope to hear towards the end of this month or early February. We continue to work with the High Speed Rail Authority and all of the cities throughout the different three corridors. At a staff level, we continue to often be frustrated and have great concern over the lack of strategic vision by some of the authority staff and maybe more so the contractors that they use, mostly in the area of service coordination, station locations, planning, community outreach, construction assumptions. They're very engineer dominant, and that's where their focus tends to be, laying lines on maps and engineering those. So we try to bring some reason and logic to this process as much as possible. We also have expressed a great deal of concern to the authority over the project's environmental process and the timing of decision points. This is a massive, massive project moving along at great speed, and we do have concerns, sort of tying back to the previous bullet, about ensuring that as this project moves forward through the environmental process, we have the right kind of community interface, how we deal with the cities and how we deal with the communities along the path, and at all costs. We want to try to avoid the kind of controversy that we started off with when they presented their alternatives analysis for the corridor between LA Union Station and Anaheim and surprised all of the cities between here and La Mirada. We can't have that going forward, especially with two other corridors now moving along in the environmental process. So to that end, Metro continues to operate as an ombudsman between the authority and the gateway cities and will likely increase that role with the other two corridors moving forward. On the Losan side, of course, we just talked about the 18-month funding scenario both in December and your last item, so I won't go into that. And in a follow-on to the MOU, the member agencies are working on potential revisions to the JPA and the bylaws to better integrate passenger service in the corridor. And examples of that are the Losan board would like to form an executive committee now so that they can take and channel certain items into that committee and pay more attention to those than they can say at a full board meeting given the path forward and the more strategic approach. And they also want to look at adding Amtrak as an ex officio board member and the FRA to the TAC. And I would add to that that we're having discussions about how high-speed rail fits into that. Likely they will be on the TAC and possibly even an ex officio member of the board would be proposed. But that's being fleshed out at a TAC level right now. On the final report, would be on a quick Metrolink update. As you are no doubt aware, Metrolink has been dealing with a current year budget shortfall, and the board at its January meeting took action, and that action was that there would not be a fare increase mid-year during this current year. There would not be service cuts other than those that were requested by OCTA and RCTC on the Orange County line and the Inland Empire Orange County line. And those cuts would only be through the end of the current fiscal year. All of the cuts were not adopted. The board asked that the budget process start early and involve the board early in discussions about solutions for the FY11 budget, which is anticipated to have a great deal of added costs over the current year, probably in excess of $12 million over current year costs. And that process actually starts in a board workshop this coming Friday. And the board would like to resolve the FY10 budget shortfall with prior year budget balances. And that is an item that I'm preparing for you now. I will bring to you at your February meeting for approval. So with all of that, I would be welcoming any questions.
Apparently not.
All right. Thank you so much.
Stephen File, thank you very much for such a complete report. Next item on the agenda is number 9. Yes, and I'm sorry, Alex, I didn't mean to cut you off.
Yes, Madam Chair. Item 9 is a receive and file. When the board adopted the 2009 long-range transportation plan, they asked that staff return to the board regarding questions on a number of items. I have with me Brad McAllister, who will speak to this item.
Thanks, Doug. As Doug mentioned, when the board adopted the long-range plan, you asked for a status report on a variety of ways to perhaps seek potential funding sources, excluding new starts, which could be used in particular looking at the Crenshaw-LAX Transit Corridor or the Gold Line Foothill Extension Corridor. So before you have kind of our status report on that, I'll try and briefly go through. There are about 8 or 9 elements you asked us to report on. The first was the opportunity to revise cost estimates on projects. And on the Crenshaw Corridor, as the locally preferred alternative is now adopted, and we're moving into final environmental as well as advanced conceptual engineering, that will be looked at as part of the work in getting into the environmental and next step of engineering, which I believe will be included into the final EIR reported back in 2011. As far as the Foothill Authority, they've completed the environmental and PE for their Phase 2A, and we'll work with them looking at opportunities to accelerate 2A through public-private partnerships, as well as any cost refinements that are possible as we work with them. And we'll also work with them as they look at 2B to ensure that they're considering the most recent costs and refinements as they go through that process. In general, after we do the locally preferred alternative on a project, costs are updated through the advanced engineering that goes into the final document. So we'll do that just in general on all corridors as we move forward. The next item we were asked to look at is the opportunity to accelerate projects such as through bonding And the long-range plan does assume pretty aggressive bonding assumptions. We're assuming to bond Prop A 35, Prop C 40, Prop C 25, as well as Measure R. And we may be coming back to the board at some point to consider elevating the bonding levels. That's something we'll be watching. So I think what we would say on bonding is that we've had assumed bonding pretty extensively in the long-range plan, and the assumptions for the plan do assume a fairly robust economic recovery. So I think this is something we'll just have to watch continuing as we monitor the economic recovery and conditions. We were also asked to look at benefit assessment districts, and we have done a few benefit assessment district work in the past. It can generate, our experience is, 1 to 4% of construction costs. Prop 218 passed a number of years ago, which requires an election of property owners. So in order to establish a benefit assessment district, there's some technical work that needs to be done to define the district in the assessment, and then it would need to go to a vote of the property owners. It's a weighted vote based on the amount of assessed property per owner. So it's something clearly we'll take a look at as we look at Crenshaw and Foothill. And we'll do some preliminary discussions with stakeholders in both areas, but there are a number of steps that have to go through, including a favorable 50% or more election. You asked us to look at parking revenues, and the board has adopted a policy for fee-based reserve parking program, and we are implementing that policy. It's an opportunity for us. Generally, the revenues we receive from parking go towards offsetting the operating and maintenance costs of the lot themselves. So they haven't to date generated revenue up and above costs, but they do serve to reduce costs. So we'll continue to pursue those as we look at new corridors as well. We were asked to report on the public-private partnership program, and the board recently approved moving forward with 6 projects, which did include the Crenshaw project, looking at opportunities to advance the public-private partnership, and the board will receive a report probably within a year with a recommendation to move forward with one or more of those projects. So we'll be, Crenshaw is one of those that's under consideration, and we'll continue to coordinate with Foothill on their plans to consider a public-private financial participation in 2B. You've asked us to take a look at seeking new funds, and our legislative staff have very actively working on that, and some opportunities at the federal level through the reauthorization might be a climate change bill. There's a proposal for a metropolitan mobility and access program, as well as looking at economic recovery grants or even direct earmarks. So this is not something that'll be 1 or 2 months. This will be something that we'll continue to track as the reauthorization develops. And I think you also asked us to take a look at additional funding beyond those 2 projects for other projects, including the West Side. And again, I think everything that we've reported on, we can look at for all corridors. Clearly, it's a challenging economic environment right now. Sales taxes are lower, state funding's in a pretty serious situation, as you all know. And so I think we'll just need to be monitoring the economic recovery. But, the challenge now is to keep the projects in the long-range plan on its current schedule. We were also asked in items number 4 and 5 whether funding could be added to several highway projects. And the long-range plan does identify a limited amount of money that wasn't allocated to specific projects after 2031. So it's that 2031 to 2039 period. And that was just so far out, and the amount of funding is relatively small compared to the whole plan, that the board could choose to program money. Some of it is available for highways. But given the ups and downs of the economy, the staff's recommendation was not to program it at this time. But, we're looking at a 30-year period, to monitor the economy and come back to that in a future plan update. And item number 5, I think we also, clarified in our board report, that the I-5 capacity enhancement project included both truck and HOV lanes up there. I think that was a question in the North County area. So we've described, the project definition for that. And finally, we had a separate motion from Director Antonovich asking us to consider maintaining on the East Side Transit Corridor Phase 2 projects, whether we could maintain the equity for the subregions as we look at various corridor alternatives. We're in the early stages of environmental analysis on that project, and we do have the opportunity to assess the viability of building two shorter segments rather than one long segment, looking at whether we could advance the project in two directions, you know, one direction north towards State Route 60 and the other south towards Whittier. So as we do the environmental work, we'll consider that, and we will report back to the board as necessary as we do that work. So that's my summary of the financial issues of the long-range plan. I'd be happy to take any questions.
Are there any questions or comments? Seeing none, if there are no objections, we'll receive and file. On the agenda, number 10, Regional Connector Transit Corridor Project.
Yes, Madam Chair. Item 10 is a receive and file status report and implementation schedule to environmentally clear the Regional Connector Transit Corridor Project by fall 2011 in accordance with the Federal Transit Administration New Starts Program guidelines, policies, and procedures. Here with me is Diego Cardoza and Dolores Roybal Saltarelli, project manager for the project. They will do a presentation.
Good afternoon, directors. Diego Cardoso again. The regional connector specifically is a project that connects the light rail system in the county through downtown LA. Dolores Roybal, the project manager, is going to walk you through the presentation that you have in your hands. Thank you, Dolores.
Thank you for this opportunity to give you a status report on the Regional Connector. The Regional Connector currently is a light rail transit project. Those are the two build alternatives that we are currently studying in the draft EIS-EIR. We're looking at three new stations in those alternatives. We have two build alternatives that we're currently looking at, an at-grade emphasis alternative as well as an underground emphasis alternative. Regional connector, what will it do? It will connect the Metro Foothill Gold Line with the Long Beach Blue Line. It will also connect the Metro East Side Los Angeles Gold Line with Expo to Culver City Line. That will create a regional connector. It will close a 2-mile gap in our light rail system. North to south, you're looking at connecting approximately 50 miles, east to west approximately 25. It would improve system capacity at Union Station as well as 7th Street Metro. And we're potentially looking at travel time savings of up to 30%. And assuming 5 minutes for transfers, which is quite conservative. And with our current fare structure, we would be reducing fare costs for our riders. Regional benefits. This assumes a fully underground alternative. 90,000 daily project trips would be using the regional connector. 20% of those would potentially be changing modes from bus to light rail, looking at over 17,000 new transit riders. And in the 2006 draft long-range transportation plan, it was the highest scoring project at that time. Other benefits to the region: with implementing the regional connector, you would be increasing ridership on the East Side Gold Line over 18%. Phase 2, additional 11%. The current Gold Line to Pasadena, a 10% increase on that. Blue Line, 10%. And with the Expo and implementation in 2011, potentially 4% increase on that. Quite significant for the region. We initiated the draft in February. We've been doing the technical analysis as well as extensive outreach with various stakeholders. We've looked at station designs, traffic counts, geotech, noise and vibration. We've initiated our contact with SHPO in regards to potential area effects, historic resources. They've approved our current area of potential effects up until this point. As I mentioned earlier, we have ongoing meetings with our community members. We've initiated urban design workshops as a part of that process. We've also been working extensively with the Little Tokyo community and we've developed a working group with them since mid-September. We've been meeting with them every 2 weeks, and we've been going over the alternatives and next steps with them on a very frequent basis. The current slide is a depiction of our schedule. We are anticipating releasing the draft in the summer, selecting a locally preferred alternative by fall. And in the mix of that, as well as procuring preliminary engineering that's currently not a part of our contract. Next steps, we will be updating the stakeholder groups, I believe, in April this year, just keeping everyone aware of what we're doing, and anticipating a final draft EIS-EIR in the fall of 2011. And as you might have noticed in the report, I also mentioned that we would be coming back to the board next month. We're looking at including an additional alternative that has been a result of what we heard at scoping, as well as all of our work with the Little Tokyo Working Group.
Thank you. Are there any questions or comments? Seeing none, or if there are no objections, we'll receive and file. Next item on the agenda, number 11, Crenshaw Transit Corridor Project.
Yes, Madam Chair. Item 11 is again a receive and file on the implementation plan to obtain a record of decision from the Federal Transit Administration for the Crenshaw Transit Corridor Project in spring of 2011. With me is the Executive Officer for the area, Rainier Berlin, and the Transportation Planning Manager for the project, Roderick Diaz.
Good afternoon, everybody. Last month, you adopted the locally preferred alternative for the Crenshaw LAX Transit Corridor, and also authorized the preliminary engineering contract with Hatchmont McDonald to do the advanced conceptual engineering, preliminary engineering, all the way through the construction support. Since that time, we've started working on the final environmental document, and as well as the engineering. We're in the process right now of identifying alternate maintenance facility sites, because the two that we had previously identified were not satisfactory to you. And we're also initiated work on a feasibility study as directed by the board between the segment of 48th and 59th that we are to report back to you in June on the results of that study. Roderick Diaz is going to briefly go through the schedule that we have that will get us to the ROD in 2011.
As Rini indicated, here's a refresher of the locally preferred alternative. Once again, it's a light rail line between the exposition line on the north end and the green line on the southern end, connecting with the green line for through service to the South Bay. It involves six stations plus one optional station, as well as several alignment variations, some aerial grade separations, and some below grade sections along Crenshaw Boulevard. The cost of this locally preferred alternative is roughly $1.36 billion. In addition to that locally preferred alternative, we will be taking that locally preferred alternative into further environmental technical analysis and advanced conceptual engineering design. In addition to that locally preferred alternative, we will be carrying forward three design options that are still unresolved that we'll be also consulting with the other public agencies, such as California Public Utilities Commission, related to the environmental necessity of these design options. We are also taking a second look at maintenance facility sites to serve this line as a standalone facility. Some more specific targeted activities that we're undertaking in the next year are negotiations with the Burlington Northern Santa Fe Railroad. This is critical because five of the 8.5 miles are along what are called the Harbor Subdivision right-of-way. And that is a right-of-way for which the BNSF Railway still has operating easements on, and we are looking to explore the possibility of the BNSF Railway suspending rail traffic during construction and potentially abandoning operating rights, discontinuing service in perpetuity. The BNSF Railway no longer operates daily service along this line. In fact, we understand that they rarely operate. They have no more local industrial customers along this section due to the fact that the Alameda Corridor is now in service. In addition, we are undertaking some agency consultation. We're setting up some meetings with the California Public Utilities Commission, especially, as well as establishing a technical advisory committee that will involve many of the public agencies in the corridor, especially the City of Los Angeles and the City of Inglewood. Again, we're focusing on identifying additional sites for maintenance facilities. We did have two identified in the draft environmental document. We're needing to identify some additional sites so that we can come to some resolution about some sites. We are initiating some work both with our environmental consultant and our design consultant to perform supplementary analysis on some additional sites and hoping to clear in revised documents up to additional four sites for consideration by the board. We will recirculate portions of the draft environmental impact report in compliance with CEQA and perform an environmental assessment in compliance with federal NEPA guidelines. And these activities will take place in the first quarter of this year, completing in the first half of the year by midsummer for incorporation into our final environmental impact statement, final environmental impact report. This activity, of course, will involve extensive community outreach, and we're looking to set up some initial meetings with the public and with our technical stakeholders within the month of February, with some follow-up meetings to happen during the latter half of the first half of this year. We are also undertaking a feasibility study. This feasibility study falls outside of the environmental review, but the board did direct an analysis of a below-grade section between 48th and 59th Street in the Park Mesa neighborhood between the two existing below-grade sections. This study is to examine physical feasibility and construction requirements and provide cost, schedule, and only general environmental impacts. This is not a full environmental review. We will return to the board in the summer of 2010 with the results of such a study. Again, this is our schedule. We are looking in the big picture to complete, have a record of decision by the first half of 2011. Our major activities in terms of design, analysis, consultation with the public are occurring in the first half of 2010, with those activities and the results of those activities to be incorporated into documents that can get reviewed here at Metro and at FTA in the latter half of this year. And our next steps are basically to prepare the final EIS, EIR, and start advanced conceptual engineering, continuing our ongoing public outreach, as well as identifying maintenance facility sites, conduct our additional analyses of our grade separations in consultation with CPUC, and continue with our public outreach with the target date of a record of decision by winter of 2011.
Thank you. Any questions or comments? I have a question, so don't go away. When we decided that the sites for the maintenance sites were not practical, feasible, what desirable, how much time does that add to your task when you have to go out and rework it, so to speak, look for new sites, do your maybe your EIR or EIS? Redo it again. Does that add time?
It adds a little bit of time. It essentially the effort that we undertake is in parallel with the design that needs to take place for the rest of the project. So essentially, we're not adding. While this is a 6-month effort, we are not adding 6 months to the schedule. We're undertaking this effort during the first 6 months of 2010. There is some additional process requirement as to having to recirculate a draft environmental impact report relevant to that topic and compile new documents. But I think I would say at most it adds maybe 1 to 2 months to the entire project schedule.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Any other questions or comments? Seeing none, we will receive and file. Thank you very much for the report. Item on the agenda, number 12,
Yes, Madam Chair. Item 12 is, again, a receive and file status report on implementation plan for completing environmental clearance for the West Side Subway extension in fall of 2011. 2011 is a big year for us on the transit side. And it's, again, in accordance with Federal Transit Administration and New Stars program guidelines, policies, and procedures. With us, we have, again, Renee Berlin and David Meager, who will talk to the project.
Last January, about a year ago, the board approved the alternatives analysis for the West Side Subway extension and directed at that time that we move into the draft environmental document and advance conceptual engineering on two alternatives. The first one was the extension of the Purple Line to Santa Monica, as well as an extension of the Red Line from Hollywood Highland to La Cienega, and then it would connect into the Purple Line extension. The extension of the Red Line as well as going past Westwood are not Measure R projects. They're beyond Measure R. However, the board did direct us to do the draft environmental on those two alternatives. We are currently about 65% complete with the environmental document. Dave Meager will provide a brief update on activities that have occurred since the last time we were at the board, which was in January, and the schedule for achieving the record of decision in 2011.
Thank you, Rini. In January 2009, the board approved the alternatives analysis study for this corridor, and so we've been embarked on the DEIS and the advanced conceptual engineering since that time. We had scoping meetings in April of 2009, and during the summer and fall of this past year, we completed over 70 geotech borings throughout the west side. We're essentially creating a roadmap to the west side of about 100 to 120 feet below the surface of all of the underground conditions that a subway would encounter going out to the west side. This board selected the West Side Subway and the Regional Connector as the two candidate projects for FTA New Starts funding. As a result of that action, we've set up monthly meetings with the FTA to discuss with them the roadmap, which is what they call it, for moving forward for approval to enter the New Starts preliminary engineering. And they actually have several additional requirements for New Starts projects, particularly projects that they consider mega projects or over $1 billion. So both the Regional Connector and the West Side Subway are considered mega projects in those terms. So they've given us a list of the requirements that we have to incorporate into our schedule to meet those and reach the various milestones of entry through the New Starts process. In terms of the DEIS, Rini said, we're about 60% of the way through the draft EIS on the arrow here. In terms of getting the project ready for construction and building the first phase of this project to Fairfax, between now and the summer, we'll be completing the EIS, releasing that during the summer with the goal of coming back to the board in September to adopt the locally preferred alternative. And in this corridor, that would look like the project that's already been approved for the long-range transportation plan. That's the project along Wilshire Boulevard out to Westwood, but with certain specific details spelled out. I'll talk about those in a minute. And also, by the end of the year, in 2010, we'd want to get approval to enter preliminary engineering, which is the official category under New Starts for entering that phase of the development process. During 2011, we would complete the final EIS and the preliminary engineering so that we could get a record of decision from the Federal Transportation Administration by the fall of 2011. This would complete the environmental process, allow us to begin negotiations for a full funding grant agreement with the feds so that we could actually start work by 2013 and build the project between 2013 and 2019, which is the current schedule under the long-range transportation plan. In terms of the alternatives, as Rini mentioned, at the end of the AA, we had two alternatives that were actually to the C. They went from the Purple Line and the Red Line on the right-hand side of this chart all the way to the beach in Santa Monica. This is generally part of the process, an alternatives analysis, where you look at all the feasible alternatives, and then you need to narrow it down based on their performance and the funding availability. So we've redefined alternatives 1 and 11 in the DEIS to the projects that are in the constrained element of the long-range transportation plan and those that are not in the strategic element of the long-range plan. So alternatives 1 and 2 resemble the old alternative 1. They're basically extensions extension of the Purple Line subway along Wilshire Boulevard with a slight deviation to Century City back to Westwood and then ultimately ending at either Westwood UCLA, Westwood Village, or extending one station west of the 405 to Westwood VA Hospital campus. We've also broken the project up into the three phases per the long-range transportation plan. First phase to Fairfax, second phase to Century City, and then the third phase to Westwood. We also have the three alternatives that are not in the constraint element of the long-range plan but are in the strategic element, and the DEIS will be coming back with the performance indicators of those so that we can actually decide how those should be brought forward. The board can decide how those shall be dealt with in the strategic element, whether they actually have the merit in terms of ridership and cost-effectiveness to be candidate projects for the constrained element of the plan, whether they have possible funding in the future where they could be advanced into the final or into PE, or whether they don't meet those criteria and would not be continued further. So that information will be brought back to the board at the time that the LPA decision is made. In terms of comments, we've heard from the public. We have quarterly rounds of public outreach meetings, between 4 and 5 meetings each quarter in terms of large public meetings as well as the individual focused meetings. Most heard comments, of course, with the subway project is construction. How are you going to build it? What kind of impacts during construction? What about tunneling under private property? Most cases we're under the street, under Wilshire Boulevard. In some cases, like between Century City and Westwood, we go under people's homes and businesses. We need to talk about the depth and how those tunnels would be designed to minimize or hopefully eliminate any perceptible impacts to those properties. Parking around stations is an issue. Most of our cities don't want to see large new parking garages in this very dense corridor. They'd like to minimize the amount of new parking. We're looking at how that affects our ridership and costs for the project. Crenshaw Station is one where historically that's been in and out of this project over the last 20 to 25 years. We're looking at the performance of that station in terms of ridership and cost effectiveness and working with the city and the local neighborhood groups as to whether they would support that station, one station west of the 405 and potential traffic impacts. Decisions that we'll have to bring back in the fall, whether there is a Crenshaw station, the specific siting of the portals at 5 of our stations, the specific alignments between Beverly Hills, Century City, and Century City and Westwood, and then the staging of construction and those impacts. Two of the big issues that we've had outreach in the last few months on the constructability of the project. This is a rendering of how the project would be built in the middle of Wilshire Boulevard. We're borrowing from our experience on the East Side, successful East Side subway project, and our North Hollywood subway project, where we were able to construct the project using newer techniques. In this case, where we deck over Wilshire Boulevard, put a concrete deck in place, and then construct below that deck to go down to the mezzanine level, the track level, and the station level, and then restore the decking afterwards. Also, we've had meetings in October and November about the actual station siting.
Yes.
Sure.
You go back. Is that what you did on the East Side?
Yes, at the subway portion of the East Side project.
So you it was a cut and cover, essentially?
At the stations, yes.
Oh, this is just at the stations?
Just at the stations. And in between stations, it's the board tunnel below the surface.
How did you do the stations in Hollywood, in the downtown Hollywood, the original Red Line?
Before we did the concrete decking, there was a raised wooden plank. They were about 3 feet above the sidewalk level, so they actually, and then they had that sort of a chicken wire netting on top of the wooden planking. So all the utilities were kept in place, and then this deck was put up on top. So in the downtown area and the initial segments on Vermont and Wilshire, we used this technique, which was pretty disruptive, and a lot of the businesses and owners felt that it really hurt their businesses. Under the North Hollywood and East Side, this decking is flush with the pavement, so that the sidewalks and the businesses have a very similar situation during construction to what they have before or after. So it was had much less of an impact.
What's the methodology here? You excavate this? The station area?
Yeah, what we've done in the past, we come in usually on weekends for two or three or four weekends in a row where we'll actually need to close a portion or of a street during Friday evening and early Monday morning. Mm-hmm. We'll reroute the traffic or keep one or two lanes open, but then we'll actually do the excavation in the street during that time, put in the deck, and then restore traffic on Monday morning so the traffic can flow, and then the work then proceeds from underneath the deck once the deck is in place. And we will have an off-street location usually adjacent to the deck where the future station would be, where we would excavate down and then access underneath the deck from that location.
So there's a minimum of disruption to the through traffic during the weekdays?
Try to eliminate it as much as we possibly can.
That is correct. Did that work in the east side subway section?
Yeah, we did, because we had a large off-street site where Mariachi Plaza is, where we were able to actually stage all the construction off the street and then use that as the site to access underneath and have the decking in place during construction. So by the large part, that was pretty successful on east side.
And you have the same possibilities on this?
In almost every location, we have off-site locations. Now, that's part of our job right now of locating where those are, but for example, at La Brea or at Crenshaw, we actually have sites that we acquired back in the 1980s that we can use. But as we go further west, we've been working with each of the cities and local stakeholders to identify where we could find off-site locations for the portal and for construction staging. And in most cases, we're finding either surface parking lots or underdeveloped parcels or properties where we think we have willing participants to use those properties, either through outright acquisition or by working with the cities and with those property owners. So we're hoping to come back with a list of those for you at the DEIS and show all those properties.
Sure, you work with the community and with our office, and Supervisor Billy Thomas represents the other side of Wilshire, but make sure you talk to us ahead of time so we can anticipate any problems before they happen.
Yeah, okay. Definitely.
Yes, sir.
You know, I recall Hollywood and downtown when those construction sites were operating. It was a very, very poor ride quality as you drove over them. I also recall that it's caused major slowing and probably disruption of traffic patterns because it was so impactful. It seems to me that I recall some pretty serious impacts on Hollywood Boulevard, on the businesses on Hollywood. Did we see any difference in terms of what happened on the east side during construction? Was there that kind of negative impact on local businesses, or was it nearly as extensive?
I might defer to Diego Cardoso, who was our chief planner on that project on the east side, to tell us about his experiences there.
Art and directors, there is a lot of lessons learned on building underground in Los Angeles. It's an incredible experience that has been gained, not only internally here at Metro, but on the firms and the technology. Remember that when all of the issues came up in Hollywood about the sinking and the fall and all of that, and we hired experts, Dr. Eisenstein, one of them, that advised us about the technology? Well, we have learned a lot. And then the reason why we did so well in terms of not subsiding the ground, which that's creates some of the problems with cracks and all the way the businesses, is because we have used a new technology. And I'm assuming that David is going to do the same here with the subway. People, the industry, it communicate a lot. So I think that we are pretty good on that. The lessons learned from the east side will be incorporated, of course, on the subway and then the regional connector. So there is a lot of expertise supervisor on that and a lot of knowledge about how to handle that. Community relations here at Metro, they're amazing in terms of what they have done in being able to achieve on that. So, yes. The businesses, I don't want to sugarcoat, there are impacts, and that's why you have the final environmental impact report where you describe that and you deal with that. There will be impacts, but certainly not as much as we did in the past.
I wanted to just talk about station planning, which is partly what Supervisor was just asking about. This is the Civic Center station that we built back in the 80s. But when we built the earlier stations, we developed a module system for building stations. We've gone back and pulled those modules out, and we're using those in our design. So as we take a station similar to the Civic Center station, put it out in a place like Wilshire Boulevard, we actually have the drawings for each of those components to put in, the mezzanines levels, the track levels, the access shafts. We locate them in the city street, and we identify where the entry points are. So these are some of the sketches we've shown in the public in our meetings. The rendering here shows where we would need to access from off-street, from private property adjacent to go into the station that's under the street. And then when you take that module, this is a case in the case of at Fairfax and Wilshire, where we've taken that module, dropped it into Wilshire Boulevard, and identified the potential entrance locations either in or adjacent to the County Art Museum or in or adjacent to some of the properties west of Fairfax. We've done this where each of the stations had stakeholder meetings, met with each of the cities. We're getting their recommendations for which they think work best with their general plans and policies, and then we're going to evaluate those and bring those back in our DEIS. And this is a sketch of what that station at Fairfax could look like in that location with those entrances. Just in terms of next steps, my last slide, we'd like to come back in June with a request to start some of the PE work a little bit early. This is because of the new starts requirement that we do risk assessment next summer prior to the entry into PE. So we're going to need to start a little bit of our PE activities early in the summer. We want to release the DEIS DEIR in the summer, have our public hearings in late summer, and then come back to the board in September for the locally preferred alternative decision, which would start the final EIS DEIR and the request to enter preliminary engineering. And that's our status to date on the subway
Thank
project.
You. Are there any comments or questions? Not, if there are no objections, we'll receive and file. Next item on the agenda is to receive the report of the Chief Executive Officer.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members. The other day, the Secretary of Transportation announced a rulemaking in the future coming up regarding evaluation criteria for new starts projects, specifically indicating that they would no longer bar projects which fail to achieve a medium or higher rating for cost effectiveness. While the statutory evaluation criteria have not changed, this will allow them to increase the weight placed on such things as mobility, economic development, environmental benefits, and other factors. We've invited the Secretary to hold a listening session here in Los Angeles. We will be looking forward to working with them as they do go through the rulemaking process, as I'm sure will every transportation agency in the entire country. So this will take probably the better part of a year, but it could affect how we approach our New Starts program. One more quick item. The board has, by the way, you all have copies of the letter to the Secretary. The board asked a month ago to have us do a performance review of our DBE and SBE processes. That is underway. Ruth, please give the board or committee a brief update.
Hi. In the first week in January, we selected two audit teams to do these performance audits. Macias's audit team is doing the certification and outreach process, and Thompson Cobb Bazilio and Associates has been selected to do the goal development process. We've already had the kickoff and entrance conferences completed, and they're in the middle of preliminary interviews and document reviews. We expect the final audit reports to be finished mid-March, and we will be taking this to the April board meeting.
Questions or comments? Thank you very much. And you've said all you want to say? Gentlemen, you have your...
No. We're
adjourned. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen.
Make an eye contact.
That scared me for a minute. I didn't want to miss anything.